Hello and welcome to Medscape One-on-One. I'm Dr. John Reed, Professor and Chief Executive Officer of Sanford Burnham Medical Research Institute. I'm joined today by our very special guest, Dr. James Madeira, the Executive Vice President and Chief Executive Officer of the American Medical Association. Welcome, Dr. Madeira.
Thanks, John. Greatly appreciated.
You know, it's been about 9 months since you assumed the helm at the AMA. Tell us how it's going.
Well, it's going wonderfully. It's a dynamic place with a lot of opportunity. I had to get to know the 1,100 people that are in the organization, the House of Delegates, D.C., so I've had a wonderful and varied time.
Now, you've done a lot of things in your career. You've been a scientist, you've been a physician, you've been a dean of a medical school, you've just a breadth of experiences. How are you leveraging those experiences and bringing those into your new role?
Well, it's interesting. The AMA has a component of all of those. So the corporate center downtown has the feel of running a hospital, very, you know, business-like, business principles. And then the House of Delegates is much like a faculty senate, you know, very democratic policy setting. And my time with Governor Leavitt at Leavitt Partners, the former Secretary of Health and Human Services, was very policy-oriented, and that really relates to our D.C. efforts and advocacy.
Dr. Madeira, for our viewers today, can you remind us what the mission of the AMA is, and how do you intend to promote that mission?
So our mission statement is one of the most attractive things about the organization, to promote the art and science of medicine and the betterment of public health. That's been our mission statement for 165 years, and I think what we need to do to promote that more strongly is to focus on areas that are strongly related to the mission. We have developed a lot of different interests over the last 165 years, and I think it's time to converge some of our interests that are really mission-centric.
Well, you joined the AMA at a challenging time. Perhaps the biggest challenge is growing membership, which has been declining for several years. What are your plans for recruiting new members and enticing former members back to the AMA?
Well, one of the things that's been great in the last year is our membership has actually increased modestly for the first time in many years. At the end of the first quarter this year, we're certainly ahead of that increase in the first quarter from last year. So it looks good based on what we're doing now. I do think that the focus will, again, help us be more impactful. I do need to stress, though, that the AMA is more than just membership, as important as membership is. And so we think of it as the AMA equation consisting of the sum of five parts. The first are those that are direct members, about 20% of American physicians. The second is our House of Delegates, 175 medical societies that make up our policy. And they represent more than 95% of American physicians. We also have practice support and business products to support physicians in practice. We developed recently a portal for IT for modest size physician practices, and we're fortunate enough to partner with AT&T in the last month to scale this product. We also have the CPT coding products and other products to help physicians in practice. Variety of research and education is the fourth component. It starts with our journal JAMA. It goes on to other important research and disparities, ethics, and public health. And then lastly is our advocacy. Our advocacy both in D.C., where we sculpt and improve impending legislation, and also our advocacy in the courts. So, for example, within the last 2 months, we have been won an award with United of $200 million that we're returning to American physicians. So the AMA is the sum of all of these five parts.
Well, that's quite a diversity of services that you offer to American physicians. Now, you mentioned a minute ago policy, and I'm curious, how does it work behind the scenes? When the AMA develops an official policy stance on a particular issue, what actually goes on in the organization?
So we have an advocacy office in D.C. that helps translate the policy of the AMA into our advocacy position on the Hill. We also have a voice in many state fora, as well as specialty society fora, and we use all those levers to promote that policies that are passed by the House.
Well, let's talk about one of the policies that's foremost in everyone's mind, and that is the policy of health care reform. I use that term reform in quotations because I fully recognize that one man's idea of reform is another's of repulsion, but the AMA took a bold stance in support of affordable health care and the Affordable Health Care Act. That was controversial. It rattled some members. Now, with the Supreme Court set to weigh in on the constitutionality of the direct individual mandate, where does AMA stand now? Do you still stand behind the Affordable Care Act?
So we supported the Affordable Care Act at its inception. And then both in 2010 and in 2011, we revisited that in the House. And the House of Delegates supported and reaffirmed their support each of those times. And the reason it was supported is that there are many important elements of the Affordable Care Act that aligns with long-standing AMA policy. For example, individual responsibility to secure health insurance. Another example is coverage for the uninsured. And health insurance reforms such that children can stay on their parents' plans, that there is no lifetime cap. Now, like any complex law, in our view, the Affordable Care Act is not perfect. For example, the Independent Payment Advisory Board, a non-elected board that could set pricing independently without accountability, is something we would not encourage, particularly at the time when we're looking at the sustainable growth rate effects on pending Medicare cuts that in January faced 30% as a cut that did not occur in January, but we have come to that cliff multiple times over the last 10 years. In essence, there are many good things about this bill for American medicine. Like anything, it's not perfect.
You know, Dr. Madera, with health care cost containment, a hot political topic, voices have arisen calling for more standardization in medical practice of treatment protocols using evidence-based outcomes research. What are you hearing from the AMA's membership about this trend, and does the AMA have a formal policy about government-driven efforts to standardize medical practice towards what may be more of a European-like healthcare system?
The AMA policy supports comparative effectiveness research that is to identify best practices. We do that to protect the individual patient, to protect the sanctity of the doctor-patient relationship. And part of that protection is also to recognize that there are times when best practices need to be recognized, but individual specification may also need to be taken into account. So a physician can, in particular circumstances, recognize that the best practice for most is not necessarily the best practice for this particular patient. And this will be a very important view of the world as we move into this area of personalized medicine as well.
Well, let's change subjects a little bit here. Perhaps two of the biggest issues that I suspect physicians would like to see resolved and would like the AMA's help in resolving are tort reform and a permanent fix to the Medicare sustainable growth rate formula. How is the AMA helping to resolve those issues for physicians?
Well, we're in strong support of H.R. 5, which has passed the House and would have a tort reform-like positioning as we see in Texas and California. And so we are strongly supportive of that bill and helped in the thinking through of that bill. The SGR, as I mentioned, is something that is a trick of budgetary off-the-books kind of budget. The $300 billion that we faced as a cliff with a 30% cut last January has already been spent. It's already on the national credit card. Congress recognizes that if this were to be enacted, that it would really decrease access for Medicare patients, and so therefore they seem to give short-term patches and have done so for a decade. But why have this budgetary maneuver that makes physicians feel threatened continually each year?
I couldn't agree more with you, Dr. Madera. I want to change subjects again a little bit and talk about the FDA. You know, the FDA has a tough job. They have to balance risks against benefits of new medicines and medical devices. And the agency often gets criticized for not quite getting that delicate balance right. What is the relationship of the AMA currently with the FDA?
Well, we have a great relationship with the FDA. And our role in that relationship is to bring to the fore the view of the practicing physician when the FDA is making its decisions, and making sure that those views are embedded in their mind think and the deliberations that they have. There are other really important issues where we align. So the Prescription Medication Usage Fee Act, we strongly support, an act that would promote ways in which we would prevent what we now have as a serious threat of a shortage of drugs, particularly generic injectables. So we work with the FDA as a companion organization toward these ends, because after all, we have this exact same goals, the health and welfare of American citizens and the sanctity of the relationship between physicians and patients.
Do you have any specific initiatives planned with the FDA that you can share with us at this time?
Certainly the support of the Usage Act is a really important one that has multiple subcomponents to it, including touching on orphan drug utilization and the like. So we've spent a fair amount of time in that area.
Now, you were the dean of a prestigious medical school. What's the role of AMA in shaping the future of medical education in America? And I'm particularly curious what changes in medical education you would personally advocate, given the transformative developments in genomic medicine, for example, that promise a future era of molecularly based personalized medicine.
Well, the board has just approved a multi-year strategic plan. And that plan is focused on outcomes for patients, outcomes for medical students, and outcomes for physicians and for physician satisfaction. So in thinking about outcomes for medical students, we have to recognize that although the curricula has been continually updated, the structure of medical school essentially is the same as it was a half a century ago. And we will work toward improving medical education and think of medical education changes such as a shift from time in chair to actually demonstrated competencies, a shift that helps blend the clinical training with the basic science training so they aren't two separate pieces, a shift that allows an enriched simulation training so students aren't limited to the type of patients that happen to be in the institution during their particular rotations. And lastly, things that relate to the social aspects of practicing medicine, an important one being the group practice, team-based, patient-centered kind of view of the world with the physician as the leader of that team. Another aspect I have to say lastly is the inculcation of genetics into the training of emerging doctors. This is going to be such an important piece of the future of medicine, and that our graduates not only have to be adept at understanding genetics, genomics, and the implications, but they have to be prepared to do reading in these areas of summaries of updates, as would occur in our journal JAMA, so they can interpret what this field means to their patients as the field progresses along.
As we look at these coming changes to medicine in this country, where have you seen the future of American medicine? Can you give some examples of organizations or initiatives where they really help point the way for what the future may look like for us?
Three general points I would make is, first, we have to be less fragmented. We are 900,000 physicians, more than half in isolated or small practices. We are 5,500 separate hospitals, multiple payers, and yet no other industry in the United States of our scale is this fragmented. So we have to have less fragmentation, less silos, and that's important for things like continuity of care as well. Secondly, we have to stop incentivizing what we don't want, volume, overutilization. We want to start incentivizing what we do want, value and quality and better outcomes for our patients.
Now, you've been about 9 months in this new role as the chief executive for AMA. What's the thing you're most excited about or most proud of in this in these first few months of your stewardship of this very prestigious organization?
Well, every day when I go to work, I think overhanging my head is the mission statement of the AMA. You know, to promote the art and science of medicine and the betterment of public health, that's really worth going to work for. And doing it at a national level in a complicated healthcare system where there are going to be multitudes of changes that have happened and will happen, and thinking through these changes from the perspective of allowing physician practices to thrive, physicians to be satisfied, because not only does physician satisfaction relate to patient satisfaction, but if we don't have thriving practices in this new healthcare environment, how are we going to encourage and entice the next generation of the brightest young people in this country to go into this field?
And in that regard, what are some of the ways our physicians can look forward to the AMA helping to move America's medical system forward?
So one of our strategic goals is to develop a set of outcome measures, working with partners, that would capture a substantial swath of disease burden in the United States, and then bring to that set also our research in disparities, in public health, in research ethics, and the like, to make a deep, rich step into this area of outcomes rather than process when it comes to treating our patients in this country.
Dr. Madera, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. Greatly appreciated.
For Medscape One-on-One, I'm John Reed.